This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
District Attorney Larry Krasner is the cancer on Philadelphia, and victims are fighting back. They're saying enough is enough. This happens after the district attorney bolts from his own press conference. Rather than explain why he went soft on an accused serial carjacker and killer. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our final hour here today. Mark Levin, the great one, will be on at 7 o'clock. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. In studio with me, Representative Amon Brown. This guy, as I mentioned, is the real deal. He walks the walk. He talks the talk. And I'm so grateful to have you in studio with me, man. It's good to see you again.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here again, man. And, you know, just to connect with your audience. You have a great audience.
Yeah. They love you. And the cops love you, too, which is great. And the people of West Philadelphia love you. You represent them and you're fighting for them.
Yes.
And I'm glad you are, because let's face it. I mean, these are the groups, the communities, the neighborhoods that are really under siege right now. And you had a big hearing at the Navy Yard last week, where you heard directly from the victims about their experiences in the city right now.
Yeah. So we had a few victims show up in person, and then we had about four who did video because they just didn't want to show up in person for their personal reasons. But I hear from victims every day. You know, so my committee member colleagues, when they hear the stories, you know, they're like, oh, they start crying. And it's like being from the city, and we go through it day after day, hour after hour. It's like we're numb to it. And it's like we just need to solve the problem now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, you know, every single day, victims are reaching out. Even before I became public and like fully public and supporting victims, it was phone calls to my state office, social media messages, the stories of the stories. And crime scene after crime scene for me, I show up to as many crime scenes as I can to be supportive for the victims, because you never know what they need. You know, there's several victims that I showed up to a crime scene. That was their last and final loved one. You know, and then myself or a team member being there just to give them that hug that they need and that support that they need at that time, no matter what it is. So, you know, It was an okay start last Thursday and Friday, you know, just to get to the bottom of what's actually going on in our city. But there's definitely going to be more to come.
How about the protests outside? You had these idiots dressed up like circus clowns.
Yeah, completely disrespectful to the victims.
Right?
Yes, yes.
And something I noticed, too, all the people who were outside dressed up like circus freaks were white. The victims were black, their families, a lot of them. Talk about, you know, the white privilege of Larry Krasner, right? I mean, I hate to use these terms, but that's what they throw our way all the time, right? They throw these words at us all the time. So I got to throw it right back in their face, because I thought it was, I mean, they wanted to act like this is a circus to defend Larry Krasner. They mocked and belittled the experiences of the victims coming forward and telling their story.
Who actually lost loved ones,
right? Right.
And none of those. There were clowns before they put the costumes on, the people that were out there. So none of those folks, those privileged people, and there was a handful of blacks. You had the Working Families Party leading it, the far, fall down left folks who are not from here, who are quick to tell you what's best for you. So what we actually saw, I showed up early. Even though I'm black, I'm on time, right? You know, like somebody said, oh, they didn't let me in. No, because you were late. You know, you were late for the hearings. You can't get in. So I showed up around 8 o'clock. And I'm like, well, look at these, you know, these U-Haul trucks and these people pulling out stuff. 50% or more of the folks who were there were hired to be there. That was an actual, like, performance. Like, these were theatrics. So if you had 20 to 25 of them paid to be there, you only had about 15 actual supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And which was the Working Families Party, which don't stand for anything. You know, you have the leader of the Working Families Party trying to run for council at large, which ain't happening, right? And then you have the other candidates that they support who were there chasing their endorsement. That's all you had, a bunch of nobodies who do nothing for nobody and who don't care about what's actually going on in our city. So that's what it was. And that's why it got nowhere. And that's why they're paying to push their message, which was really nothing, you know. So,
you know, I we've said this before. I mean, Larry Krasner, in my opinion, is the problem. I'm going to play a piece of audio here. This is from a press conference that he had, his own press conference. And Ralph Cipriano wrote this piece about this now, where on September 19th, a mother was about to drive her daughter to school, 6:15 a.m. in Northeast Philly, mm-hmm. confronted by a carjacker who pointed a black handgun at both their heads. 10 days later, U.S. attorney announced that her office had arrested Amir Harvey of the only section of the city, charging with the carjacking of the mother. Turns out that Harvey has a rap sheet that included 7 arrests in the past 5 years. He's a suspect in at least 4 carjacking, including one where he previously pointed a gun in the faces of a mother and her children. He's also been arrested for allegedly firing 4 shots at police and then barricading himself rather than surrender. And remarkably, with all of that, he was released on his own recognizance 3 times, had his bail cut in half so it would only cost him $10,000 to get out of jail. When he previously pulled a gun on a mother and her children, he was released without having to go to jail. On 2 occasions, when he entered a negotiated guilty plea to stealing cars, he got no jail time and was sentenced only to probation. So here's the reporter asking now the DA about this. And let's see what the DA has to say. Take a listen.
Mr. Krasner, I have a question about one of those carjackings that you are cooperating with the U.S. Attorney's Office about. Amir Harvey, he's 22 years old. He's been arrested 6 times since 2018. 4 of those arrests involve suspected carjackings. The 5th arrest involves a VUFA case where he allegedly shot 4 times at the police. In the carjacking, unfortunately, the DA's office lost a case against him. 12 days later, he came before you and the judge on the VUFA case. And the most he was charged with after shooting 4 police officers was reckless endangerment. And he only got 11 and a half to 23 months in jail. Can you explain the light charges of the light sentence?
I would have to look into the details of that matter. Thank you very much.
I got a follow-up question.
Thank you very much.
Didn't you say we had one follow-up, sir?
He doesn't want to answer. Krasner does not want to answer.
He don't have any answers. It's his fault. He don't want to own up to his wrongdoing. He don't want to be held accountable. That's just what it is. But if that room was filled with a bunch of progressives, he would sit there and put on a show. He's comfortable in front of his peers. His peers are not the people who live here, who would do anything to rebuild this city. They're going to up jump the boogie and leave. They can leave at any given time. That's what we're dealing with. He don't want to face his wrongdoing. He would be better off if he say, listen, I came into this in 2017 or 18, and guns were not as easily accessible as they are. Because you got the ghost gun issue. You got just for whatever reason, there's hundreds of extra guns on the street. They weren't this accessible years ago. So just own up to it and say, I thought I was prepared and ready then, but now I am not. This ain't what I signed up for. So I need help. That's all he got to say. I need help. My ADAs need training. They're not prepared. People don't want to work with me. please help me. But he's too
arrogant.
Yeah, he's too arrogant. You know, and that's what's killing people. You know, and it's not even, we can't even say killing black people anymore. You got anybody and everybody can die in any given moment. Like you had the young guy on 35th and Hamilton or Spring Garden on Drexel, off of Drexel's campus. He was gunned down. That could have been you or I. He was gunned down by gang initiation. That's what that was. The footage showed this guy walking around for more than a half an hour looking for the first victim, the first person he saw he was supposed to kill. And that's what he did. That could have been me dropping off one of my constituents who I saw getting off the bus
sure.
at 1 a.m. after work. It could have been anybody. It could have been the UPS driver who got to go out to the airport, who need to be at work at 3 a.m, making sure we get our packages. It could have been anybody that works hard, who want to just go home and take care of their family and wake up the next day and do it all over again. That's it. And now you have this innocent young man who is now dead, and he was a political strategist or something for the Democratic Party out in Chester County. Let that had been a Larry Krasner's operative. If crime not when crime knocks on his door, he'll have a different conversation.
You know, the cops in the city, obviously, when you know this, Representative Amon Brown, cops arrested these guys. This guy in particular shot at the cops. He was arrested. Mm-hmm. He's let go. Cops are frustrated. You know, they're frustrated. They feel very much like the district attorney thinks they're the problem. We've heard years and years of this defund the police crap that we've heard. Let me ask you, do the people of West Philadelphia want the cops defunded?
Absolutely not. No, it don't work like that in my neighborhood. We want them fully funded. We want more funding. And my people fully understand that they're underpaid. Like I said before, they run toward the violence. They run toward the shootings. That's what they do. And how do we not support that? Well, Why don't those liberal, whatever they call it, why don't they support it when they're going to call the cops when something happens?
Progressives, I think, be a good word to put it, right?
Well, I'm actually a real progressive. You know, I'm the real progressive. I'm trying to get things done here.
Yeah, you want progress in safe streets.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but that's not how they view progress. They view progress as defunding the cops, mm-hmm. making the cops the bad guys, blaming the guns and not the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're a law-abiding citizen. You carry,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you've been shot.
Absolutely. Yeah, so.
So we talked about Kenny last week, you know, and a federal judge blocked it, saying you can't bring guns to parks and recreation centers. I don't know about you, Amon, but I don't think gang members are going to follow Kenny's executive order.
No, you're going to put people like me in danger because I frequent rec centers.
Yeah.
And all of my rec centers are in the hood. We don't have gardens in flower patches. No, we got thugs and guns. Like, that's what happened. So you want me as a law-abiding citizen to go in communities where I know at any given moment I could be a victim? You want me to go in naked? Absolutely not. Just like you said, the violent bad actors, they don't follow the laws anyway. The laws are not for them. So you want to put something in place that's going to hurt the law-abiding citizens? No, your time is up. You there's something mentally wrong with this man, and he just needs to go.
Krasner needs to go.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah. Kenny, too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I agree, 100%. Yeah, yeah. They got to go before it's too late. You know how you said it could have been anybody? My producer, Henry, told me that was a childhood friend of his. Henry, who was a friend of yours?
The man who was shot just walking the street the other night by Drexel's campus. His name was Everett Beauregard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Friend of yours?
Friend of mine.
That's what I mean, right? My producer's friend. This is what you say could be anybody? And this is why
anybody.
There are hundreds of thousands of people listening right now in the suburbs. They will not come into this city. They won't do it.
Why would you?
Right.
Why would you? So I'm going to just break down gang initiation currently going on in the city of Philadelphia. Look at, you know, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. What
these gangs are doing, all right, you have one gang that Larry Krasner, he announced YBC and a few others. YBC is the Young Bag Chasers. They are leading the scoreboard. There's something online called Philly Scoreboard for gangs in the shootings and the murders. This is a real thing. It's a game. It's a game to them.
Unbelievable.
It's called Philly Scoreboard on social media. And you can see posts reposted from gang by gang saying, this crime scene, that was my work. That crime scene was their work. -1, +2. It's a serious thing. So the situation on 35th Street in my district, that was YBC. And the reason that they did that, because YBC killed off X amount of other members of another gang. And now those few left, they had to come over to them to be safe and to show their loyalty. They drop them in communities where they know there's a chance that the person, the victim, is not caring or cannot defend themselves. That's what's going on. So what is the target going to be? The target is going to be suburban communities, college campuses. They're not going to come to 56 and Market with it, because you'll have somebody like me who is always ready on go. They're not going to do that. They're being very strategic about neighborhoods they place their initiation candidates in. So we need to be mindful that this is what's going on. So
when the mayor comes out and says, we're not going to allow guns in parks, he's basically giving them an open invitation.
Yeah. So now
you know you can come there. It's going to be like fishing in a fishing bowl.
Mm-hmm. So now the gang members are going to say, oh, we have a new targeted area. Any public property?
Right. Right.
You know, it's when are we going to do the right thing and side with the law-abiding citizens and stop being afraid of this unorganized crime?
Effort right now, and Representative Ahman Brown is in studio with me. It's great to have him here on Twitter at Rich Zioli, if you'd like to tweet. It's fantastic having him. This effort now to hold Larry Krasner accountable as the district attorney, where does it stand? I know he's being held in contempt right now by the committee in Harrisburg, your committee that you're a part of to investigate him. Where does it stand? And, you know, there's a lot of people right now crossing their fingers going, can we get rid of this guy?
Yeah, so where it currently stands is that we're looking at all the documents that we received from the responses to the subpoenas, and we're scheduling some more hearings, and then we'll go from there. You know, from what I see, I think that is going to carry over into the next session.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever it takes to get to the bottom of this problem, I'm there for.
And what we need is, we need to support the cops. We need to make sure that we also support the Second Amendment so we can protect ourselves. And, you know, for you, I mean, personally, I mean, you got such an amazing story, too. Tell us your story. How'd you get here today?
Oh, man, my state car segment. You know, I don't know if you saw my opening remarks on the committee. I wanted to make it very clear, and I'm not the best public speaker, you know, but I took that opportunity.
I don't know. He's a pretty riveting radio host, guest, guys. What do you think, huh? Every time you're on, people are like, this was amazing radio.
Well, thanks, man. I'm comfortable here. You know,
good.
I appreciate it. You know, I wanted to take that opportunity to set the record straight, because you got these far left, you got these abolitionist groups or abolitionist organizations who think that there's somebody important because they served 29, 30 years in jail, and then they come out and they get a job and they're the executive director of an organization with one employee, and it's them.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, of course you're calling the shots. It's only you. So, you know, you have those people who are trying to control my narrative and telling me that I'm controlled. I have, oh, the Republicans are telling them to do this. Oh, he's being bought out by white people. He's this, he's that. No, I'm here because I've been shot before by the same very guy that they take up for. And that guy who shot me, he got no time. He got no time. And I was a minor. He got 12 months. He got 1 year probation and some community service, because my mother was afraid to show up to court because he knew where we lived. So he got a slap on the wrist, and after he shot, it was two of us that he shot that day. It was my friend and I. We were together. I still see him to this day, right? He still works in West Philly. So imagine, like, I get trauma. I get it. You can't tell me I don't deserve a seat at the table when I got a bullet in my back still, you know? So for those folks who didn't get the message, and I looked at them when I was sitting up there, I said it to them. I said, I take no back seat to none of you, to none of y'all when it comes to gun violence or criminal justice reform. I've been there. I've been to the county jail and watched multiple guys hang themselves with sheets and fights and prison guards dump cases of bananas over the balcony and watch all the inmates fight over them. I've been there. So you can't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. And you can't tell me somebody gave me a script. This is my life. And I'm still out here every single day experiencing what we're living. And the reality is the streets are not safe and we need to do something about it. And who better to get this ball rolling or to try to solve this problem than someone who lived it and who still lives it?
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's why you got a great bill to deal with bail. Because you see it around the country right now in these cities that are being ravaged by these criminals, and these people are getting out on bail, and it's insane what's happening here. I mean, violent people who are a threat to people. So what would your bill do, Representative Amon Brown?
Yeah, so my legislation, it would, if you are caught in the commission of a crime with the firearm, you will get either a very high bail or no bail, because you should not be released back out into the public to wreak more havoc.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mentality of these bad actors is, if I didn't finish the job and I get the opportunity to finish the job, I'm going to do it. And that's why you have.
Meaning
the football
game. I'm going to kill somebody.
If I didn't kill them the first time, I'll make sure I kill them the second time. So that's why you have instances where people are getting shot at football games and scrimmages and on bus stops and when they get out of school, because you want to catch them off guard at any given moment. And then we have innocent people being killed.
So don't let them out.
No, why? I don't want them out here with me. Like, I don't want them out here with you. You know, it's
right.
And we're just trying to do the right thing. And we shouldn't be out here, you know, like my caucus, I get it. We have a caucus agenda. I'm for it. I support it. But you can't tell me what to prioritize. Strengthening gun legislation and gun laws ain't going to stop these 14, 15, 16-year-olds from killing people.
Exactly.
It don't work like that.
Right.
Right? You know, so they want to, magazine ban. You saw the carjacker, the guy who, 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He had a handgun with a 50-round drum. He didn't buy that legally. Got it online.
Yep.
So until we really come up with some real solutions and have some real conversations about addressing that problem, I'm not trying to hear it until we fix what's going on the corner of my street. Right?
Right.
You know, it's nonsense. So strengthening gun legislation, I get it. It might be helpful in the long run, or it might hurt some hunters. But we got hunters in the city right now who are preying on innocent people. And that's what we need to be addressing.
And it's not going to do a damn thing to stop those hunters, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a damn thing. Yeah. And, you know, and one thing I wanted to ask you, too, you know, the progressives, other people, even Democrats, coming after you and saying horrible things about you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, yeah.
What do they say about you?
They call me Jim Crow.
They call you Jim Crow?
Yeah, they call me Jim Crow. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, they call me Jim Crow.
They call you Uncle Tom, too?
No, I didn't get that one yet.
That's good.
Yeah, they probably do behind the closed doors. But they did a mailer, and they called me the new Jim Crow. And I was like, wow, that was kind of, yeah, that was
unbelievable.
Oh my God.
All you're trying to do is just clean up the streets.
Yeah, all I want to do is save a life, right? And so, you know, I get attacked from so many different ways. Like, I have comments online now from posts that people who don't get it. And I know what it is. It's an abolitionist. You know, it might be a female who might be married to one of these abolitionists. And he's like, hey, baby, you go ahead and post that so I'm not the only one saying something wrong. or saying something negative, because it is only a handful of people. And if you really paying attention, you'll see that a lot of my colleagues are staying out of it because they know what was being done needs to happen. They just don't have the heart to do the right thing.
They don't have the cojones to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You got stones, brother. That's the thing. That's the difference.
The marbles.
You got the marbles. You know, they're afraid to stand with the cops. You're not.
They are.
You're not.
No, absolutely not.
And by the way, I was, you know, we did the dunk tank together for the Children's Behind the Badge Foundation. We did with the bike ride for the Bend of the Shore. And we were both in the dunk tank that day. And it's a life-changing experience because that water was so freaking filthy.
Uh-huh.
But we're both here to say it. But your son, great kid. He dunked you. Maureen Faulkner dunked me. I think she dunked you too, actually, right?
Yeah, I got dunked a couple of times.
Yeah.
So I was on Broad Street the other night talking to some of our brave men in blue. And my son was with me. And I told him to roll out the window. And I said, son, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I want to be a policeman. And the officer, the chief I was speaking to, man, his eyes lit up. I'm like, this is real life for me. And I'm going to make sure he's the best officer that anybody has ever seen, especially this city. And he needs to be an officer in the city that he's going to be raised in. You know, because when you are an officer in your city, it matters more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you want to take care of home. And that's your personal home. And that's the city that made you who you are. And we got some brave, you know, to be an officer, we got to be brave.
Yeah.
You know,
in this city for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, so when I do the ride alongs, you know, the chief and the lieutenants always say, Hey man, don't shoot nobody. I'm like, hey man, look, I'm just here for the thrill. You know, I'm just itching to just chase somebody.
Listen, come back and see us again. All right. I always love having you in studio, hanging out with me.
Yeah, man, this is great.
And keep up the great work. You know, we're proud of you. I mean, all the comments on social media, people love hearing from you. I got texts from friends saying, keep it up. This is great. You know what I mean? This is fantastic. So, you know, and like I'll read you one. Tom Hoskins says, Representative Amon Brown is humble about being a good public speaker. Yeah, people think you're fantastic. So, you know, this is what we need right now. And I'm really glad that, you know, we got somebody in this city who's brave enough to say what needs to be said. So hey man, thank you for that.
I can't do it alone. It's going to take people from all different walks of life to get to bring our city back. You know, I have faith, you know,
yeah.
I know what the city was at one point, not saying that it was the best, but I know what it can be. And it's going to take decent, pragmatic people who don't care about color, gender, race, none of that. And just say, all right, you know what? You know, let's just get some stuff done here to build futures for my son, your children, and my daughter, man. So I'm here for the long haul and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to turn our city around. You know, and I thank you for the support, man. It means a lot.
You got it. Representative Amon Brown in studio with me. I got a lot more to say before the show ends. We got a lot more to talk about. Don't go away. We'll come right back.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
What is this?
It's not.
I hate it. It ain't hard to tell. It's terrible. Can't you play country music or something? What do you have against country music?
I just don't listen. I don't have anything against it.
Can we give him some? You think? No, I don't know. At least, I thought you'd come back with Will Smith, at least with rocking some West Philadelphia, born and raised. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But Henry, up until that song, you've done a great job with the music. I mean that sincerely.
Okay, thank you.
Up until that last song.
I think it's a good song.
Well, then that's all that counts, Henry.
Yeah, that's
Henry, when are you going to be back with us anyway?
What, in this show?
Yeah.
Thursday.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, good. Good. Excellent. We like having you here. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
price gouging. You know, Biden's an idiot. I mean, he really is, like, in so many different ways. But his whole thing about price gouging, you know, Thomas Sowell, one of my true heroes, he really is, wrote a great piece in 2004 about price gouging. And the reason why these phony price gouging laws and other things wind up becoming some of the most meaningless expressions that actually cause more people harm than good. There was a distinguished economist named Joseph Schumpeter who once pointed out that it is a mistake to dismiss some ideas as too silly to discuss because it only allows fallacies to flourish and their consequences can be very, very serious. Charges of price gouging usually arise when prices are significantly higher than what people have been used to. This is what happens whenever you have storms and things like this, but I'm going to get into this in a little bit more detail tomorrow because I didn't have a lot of time to do this today. But I just wanted to point out, you know, Biden's bullying on the oil industry by saying, don't you price gouge, don't you raise prices. That's just his excuse, you know, because gas prices are going up again and Joe Biden wants somebody to blame. The White House loves to take credit if the prices go down. Prices go up, Biden wants to turn around and blame somebody. So it's big oil, it's Putin, and it's COVID in that order. And sometimes he'll move around the order if he has to. But there are a couple of things I want to get to before I get out of here. First of all, it's great to be back with you in the afternoons, and I hope you enjoy that extended interview with Representative Amon Brown. The great one, Mark Levin, will be here at 7 o'clock. You know, Democrats are losing not only black voters, but Latino voters as well in a big, big way. Here's a Latino ex-Democrat talking to an MSNBC host why they have switched parties. And it goes a lot with what Representative Amon Brown was saying, does it not? About the crime on the streets. Now, I hope he stays a Democrat for the only reason that's the only way he can win in Philadelphia, sadly. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, the reality of the situation is that unless you want to run for mayor of a city that's so corrupt like Philadelphia, where the Democrat Party is so entrenched, as a voter, switch. As a voter, switch. Because that's what has to happen. And you're seeing that now. Black voters and Latino voters are saying enough is enough. These Democrats, they have emboldened this situation with all their corruption and their progressive woke policies. You know, George Soros has funded these district attorneys around the country, and I had a whole list of them, around the country of these very, very progressive woke Marxist prosecutors who have been elected using Soros's money and have turned around and implementing the exact same policies that are destroying Philadelphia. Cut number 12.
Signs that Latino voters are shifting their focus to the issues instead of sticking with one political party.
When you go to vote in November, mm-hmm. are you going to be a doubtful voter?
I'm a doubtful voter now.
As I got older and smarter, I said, hey, this guy doesn't work for me.
That's now backed up by a new NBC News Telemundo nationwide survey of Latino voters, showing support for a Republican-controlled Congress jumped 5 points in just the past 2 years.
We're not just going to blindly vote in one particular direction. We're going to vote in the direction of folks who are going to be paying attention to the issues that are important to us.
Marisa Morentin lives in Phoenix, Arizona.
How is it that you feel as a voter here?
Taken advantage of.
It's a state that had been reliably Republican, but has now turned into a swing state. In 2020, it went for President Biden. Marisa voted Democrat back then, but now says she's not so sure.
I feel like the Democratic National Party looks at my demographics and assumes that I'm going to vote for them. I'm a Latina woman. That historically has been the party's bread and butter.
She wants the party to take stronger action on issues like abortion and voting rights. But our poll found that the top issues for Latinos was actually the cost of living.
We see that prices are through the roof, and we want to know what people are going to do to help put that burden down.
In conservative stronghold states like Texas, signs of a political shift among Latino voters, with more now leaning Republican.
Maybe we should just go to the church.
Jose Arriola and Maria Batres live in El Paso.
Maria, you were a Democrat and you are now a Republican. Why?
Because the fact that the Democratic Party has changed a lot and identify more with the Republican Party.
What things?
Well, we're for God, country, family, and hard work.
Jose used to vote blue, too. Now he's also a Republican and most concerned with immigration and beefing up border security.
What are the concerns that you have about immigration?
The fact of the matter is that we, you know, we don't feel safe anymore.
Yeah, they don't feel safe anymore. The other thing, too, and this is something else about Latino voters, and this new poll that I have shows, it was an NBC Telemundo poll, that Latino voters are moving Republican. They're still, Democrats are still winning, but they're losing them in big numbers. The NBC Telemundo poll is very, very telling. One of the issues, though, as I digested the poll a little bit, parental rights and education. What do you think that black voters, Latino voters want their kids to learn about all the various sexual positions in second grade, or any more than white parents do? Hell no. In fact, Hispanic voters, black voters, they tend to be very, very socially conservative in many areas. So Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, who did a fantastic job making parental rights and education a hallmark point of his campaign for governor of Virginia, he talked about what will be another primary issue, and I agree with this 1,000%, especially when you think about New Jersey and what I said to you yesterday about how parents, grandparents, you got to stand up and fight back against this woke curriculum where you're going to teach second graders that a boy can really be a girl and all the other nonsense they want to teach. Cut 11.
What we're seeing, of course, as everyone's back in school, is that education comes right up to the top of the list again. Yes, inflation is a huge issue, and bad policies out of the Biden White House have driven us to a 40-year high in inflation, and people are seeing it every day. And we're seeing education, again, come to the forefront. As people are worried about what their children are being taught, they're worried about excellence in schools and their kids being challenged. And oh, by the way, they're worried about not having any choice. And so at the end of the day, I think education is going to once again show itself to be the primary issue in this cycle. And by the way, we're seeing the same thing in Virginia right now, where there's arguments about the role of parents in their children's lives. Let me tell you, parents matter. And I think voters will once again state very clearly, like they did last year, they're voting for parents' rights in their kids' lives.
You know what they don't give a damn about? January 6th, abortion and climate change. You notice that none of those issues matter to voters. Yet here's Stephen Colbert last night. His special guest was the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi. She flew in, I mean, literally turned herself into a bat, flew to Colbert's studio. And did she drink his blood? Do we know? Do we have any evidence of that?
The clip that I looked at, there was no blood drinking. It's okay. Possible it happened in a later segment in the show.
Yeah, you don't know she didn't drink the blood of an intern on the set of Colbert. So don't just assume things, Matt DeSantis, executive producer.
I apologize.
Cut 8.
What is your prediction for the election that's a little bit more than a month away? Madam Speaker, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, because I believe that we will win the hold the House.
Hold the hoe. Did she just say hold the hoe?
Yeah, you want to? Let's actually go back, because now I'm curious.
Much. Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, because I believe that we will win the House.
Hold the
House. We will hold the House.
Don't you hate when the fangs wind up getting, you know what I mean? And like, remember I said before I had something stuck in my teeth? This is when a fang actually cuts up against her cheek. I think I'm going to hold the hoe. Hold her. Hold her neck. Sorry, go ahead.
By winning more seats, we won the 40 seats. Then we lost some when Trump was on the ballot. We lost some in the Trump districts, but we held enough seats to hold the House with him on the ballot. He's not on the ballot now. Oh, did I say his name? I didn't mean to.
Yeah, look at that. The clapping seals, right? Look at them, all excited. Go ahead.
We'll have the videotapes fumigated.
Perhaps you could bleep that
no
out.
Worries, okay. No worries. Right. It is a family show. But what gives you the confidence to do that? Because all the prognosticators, certainly 6 months ago, they said it was going to be this crazy red wave. Mm-hmm. Now it looks likely that the Democrats will hold the Senate, but there is still a slight favor for the Republicans to take the House.
Well, okay. So you ready?
Always.
Okay. Here's the thing. When we won in 2020, and again, fewer seats, but still holding the House, we started right away to prepare for the next election in terms of organization.
Doesn't she get into whipping a horse at some point in this? I believe horse whipping comes into it.
Skip to that?
Yeah, skip to the end where she gets to the horse whipping. I want to just hear that part of Pelosi talking about that. and what that image conjures up in my mind. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Majorities come and go.
It is on the ballot. You're sounding a little bit like you're talking in the past tense, if you don't mind me pointing that out. We've still got more than a month to go.
Yes.
The polls still aren't reflecting necessarily what you're saying. No. Do you believe in the polls?
No, let me just say, I said was on the ballot past when people decided to run.
Okay.
And now here they are doing very well in their districts. When you ask about it, here's the way we see it. I'm from Maryland originally. I've been in California.
I'm from Transylvania originally. Just
so
a little bit south of here.
It's a horse racing state. And in Maryland, when you're in the lead, which we believe we are, we're in the lead, you're in the stretch, we made the turn, it's 5 weeks from tomorrow is the election, and voting starts even sooner than that. When you're in the lead and you're in the stretch, you whip the lead. And that's what we are doing. We're whipping the lead.
What a terrible image of her in a dominatrix outfit whipping the lead. We'll have more on this tomorrow. We ran out of time. You know what we need another hour. We're going to have a 5-hour show.
No.
4 hours is clearly
enough. No.
Four's enough. Let's do this. This is so terrible.
Now, today's social media winner on The Rich Zeoli Show.
All right, I'm going to do something unprecedented. I'm going to give it to two people. They're going to share the award.
Matt DeSantis, executive producer, okay.
I'm pulling rank. All right, so the first one is going to go to Tom Hoskins, who says, "Welcome to the Zeoli Army, Matt and Henry." Thank you, Tom.
Suck up.
Very nice. And if you mention me, there's a decent chance you're going to win who won social media. The second one is going to go to what I find to be the funniest tweet of the day. This is from John Doe by Choice. He says, "I smell a new bit. Mama Zeoli, public school grief counselor."
That is fantastic. If you missed that, go back and listen. That was a great part of the show. We might have to come back to that. All right, excellent. Let's do this.
Now, Rich Zeoli's final thoughts.
Brought to you by my friends at Garden State Earthworks. Don't let winter sneak up on you. It's coming. Water will freeze and thaw. These problems don't take care of themselves. They get worse. Call Garden State Earthworks today. They move water anywhere in your property. 856-848-4444 or GardenStateEarthworks.com. I went super long. I'll just say thanks to Representative Amon Brown for coming in studio. Go back and listen to the podcast if you missed it. Thank you for listening. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.